Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
All right, we're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by a guest that's taken the Cork hurling fandom by storm over the past few months. So delighted to be joined here by the main man himself. Look, how has the pod started for you in the first place? It's been some road over the past few years for Cork hurling in particular, but why did you decide that this was going to be the year you're going to start?
Basically, I'm a mad, as you know, probably from listening to me, really, and all the games I go to, when you listen to my pods, I'm a mad Cork GAA fan, you know. I just love talking Cork GAA, and I love going to the games. And I've always kind of wondered why someone hasn't really done a Cork GAA pod, you know. And, like, there's great national pods out there, but they're covering all the teams, and I just, you know, and you're great sports shows like yourselves, but you have to cover a lot of sports. So I just wanted a specific GAA one. And when I saw John doing the football one, in fairness, I'm like, he was the first man through the door to do a J-pod. And when I saw him leading the way, it kind of gave me a bit of confidence, you know, just to go, you know, just give this a try, like, you know, just give it a go and see how it goes. And so I just decided to give it a go. And, like, I was very nervous doing the very first one, you know, as today it's not my main job, really, and I wouldn't be media trained. And, like, I sat down to do the first podcast, and actually, believe it or not, it took me an hour to pluck up the courage to sit down in front of a microphone and start recording. I just couldn't believe it. Like, I have great respect for you radio DJs now who sit down in a room with no one in the room with you and hit record and just talk. And I found it very difficult, but I eventually got into it. And then I started, I downloaded it onto the phone, and I wasn't sure if I was going to release it or not, you know, because I was nervous. I was like, is this going to be any good or not? And I went off to a game, and I was listening to it throughout the game. And the game I was watching, and I was so nervous I couldn't concentrate in the game that I was watching, listen to it. And then when I listened back to it, I said, look, you know, it's decent enough, the first episode. And I said, look, let's just release this now and give it a go and see what the reaction has been like. And in fairness to 99% of the people out there, they are very positive in what they're saying about it. They're very encouraging. And I will continue to do it as long as I'm enjoying it. That's the key thing. I'm enjoying talking Cork hurling with people and fellow fans. I'll continue to do it. So I was kind of happy to do it. And the feedback has kind of kept me going. So I'm happy enough to do it. I'm happy enough where it is, to be honest.
Well, I've said, look, us radio DJs, we need no respect anyway. And I think when you're listening back, you always think it's kind of worse when recording than when you're actually listening to it back again. But look, it's been a privilege to listen. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. You can find it up on YouTube, Cork Hurling Pod. And yourself, you're pretty active on X now as well, where people can get involved and chat away and ask questions and everything like that. Cork Hurling at the moment, like, how have you seen the road over the last few years and to where we are today?
We are definitely, you know, there's definitely huge ground we made in the last 2-3 years, in fairness now. And we are so close to just getting over the line at senior level. Yeah, we've been very unlucky the last 2 years. It's been heartbreaking in a way. But we are very close, and there's great work going on underage. And I just feel if we could get that one All-Ireland senior level done, we get that one to the hole, you know, the dam would burst, I think, really. Because we all see, like, the huge wave of momentum that's there. And all the kids, they're loving going to the games. There's huge crowds, like. And if you get that one win and get that monkey off our back, it will really explode. Like, when you have everyone in Cork will be hurling and we'll be mad about hurling, and it can only be better for Cork hurling. And I do think we're really close, in fairness. I think we've got the right guys in charge there now. In fairness to Ben O'Connor and Furlong at under 20 level, they're doing great work, the two of them. And they're developing our teams, they're developing our players, and we are very close. And let's hope to God now in the next 2 years that we do get over the line.
How do you reflect on the last 2 years and maybe finals in particular? Do you have the sense, and maybe many Cork hurling fans do, that Pat Ryan was maybe a bit too soft or a bit too passive at times?
I think he got them playing great hurling. You know, that was the strength that he had. Like, he got them playing fast ball in. We just came up short tactically, really, in the big day twice. I thought we were caught against Clare. We didn't go for enough goals. I think he's mentioned this himself in an interview I heard him doing lately. He mentioned that we didn't get enough goals in the day, and we didn't have the action to go for goals. And I thought they beat us tactically around the middle as well. And last year then it was a total malfunction, really, the second half tactically, that we just couldn't combat the seven defenders and the sweeper. So I thought he was so close to get us over the line, and we all wanted it for him because we all love the guy, and he's hurling mad, and he'd been through a lot, but he was just coming up. We were just coming up short of it tactically at times. So maybe the change was probably needed, or maybe he just needed an extra bit of help on board with him, but he obviously didn't agree to that. So maybe it's kind of like Ben come in now, might change. He's clear Ben is changing things tactically. We can see that from our game plan, that we are moving away from the totally direct stuff. But we were just short tactically, I feel, the last 2 years of getting over the line. We are up there with the best hurling teams in the country. We have some of the best players in the country. which seems to be that tactically cuter and a bit more ruthless as well. That, you know, that psychology of burying teams. We need to find that as well.
Well, it was good that we saw it against Clare the last day. Like, how do you think we have fared as Championship? My own opinion is kind of like, geez, we've done well. Like, I mean, hard to argue at 4 from 4. Never really went for that 100% until the Clare game. But sure, how good were Clare anyway, to be fair, on that day. So how do you see us coming into this Munster final and the Championship so far?
Yeah, I think, like, it's been a positive year. I think the league, we did manage to rotate and we still got to a final, in fairness. And we did find a few players, you know, we found Buckley and Walsh. Now, these guys are always coming through. We all knew about them. But crucially, we got them into the team and we got game time into them. And then we got 4 from 4 in Munster, and you can't complain about that. And we are, like, I think we are a bit stronger this year because the big move. Well, there's two reasons, really, why we're probably motoring better this year than last year, maybe. Hopefully, please God. And that's because, number one, Tommy O'Connell has been brought into the team. And the second one is our game plan is shifting and it's beginning to take off now, as we saw against Clare. But I think it's a massive plus that Tommy's in the team. Like, the fans love Tommy O'Connell. We all love him for a reason. And putting him in the middle of the field, you know, it's really helping the team this year because he's offering that bit more protection for the back line, especially. And we had the best defence in Munster this year, which is kind of rare for us because we're usually a shootout team. And I think that a lot of that is down to Tommy O'Connell, in fairness. He's dropping back a lot. He's offering a lot of protection. He's operating out ball as well. The defenders they do trust him and they give him a lot of ball. He's a good man to use the ball as well. But his work rate then around the middle is very good. And he's a great man in the rocks. You know, when he drops back, he's almost like a fourth half back for us. When he drops in there and then the puckers go long and he fights like a dog under the breaking ball for us. So that's really helping the defence. And I think it's made the team stronger this year then. The fact that we have Tommy in there, it's crucial. We want him to stay injury free now. Because we see what he's bringing to the table, and I think the fans love him as well. He's a real fan favourite. I've kind of been calling for him since the very first episode to be in there, and I'm delighted that Ben is putting him in there. And the second reason then is that we are more tactically flexible this year. We do seem to be have a plan A of going long. It's still there, but we also have the Shark game as well. And like, if you've been listening to my pods all along, I have been kind of despairing at a Shark game at times. It wasn't the best, you know. We were running into trouble a lot. There's a lot of sideways hand passing, backwards hand passing. But against Clare, it did seem like the Shark game was taking off. You know, we were snappy with our passing. It was 20-yard, 30-yard stick passes quickly into the hand and getting the ball away quickly. It just seemed like against Clare that our Shark game was kind of taking off. And we hope now that it'll keep improving now for the rest of the year. And that we'll have the long ball and the sharp ball, and we'll be hard to beat then because we'll have two game plans tactically. And we can only play what we were up against last week against Clare. We, you know, time will tell how good or bad they were, but that's not our fault. You know, we can only play what we're up against. And we did the business and we put them away, so we have to be happy with that.
You mentioned Tommy. Is he the standout for you this Championship so far?
Yeah, I think, like, you want about horrors of the year and all this, like, and people talk about them. But I think we've got an unsung hurler of the year playing in the back line. That's Niall O'Leary. I think he's been our most consistent player this year. He's been fantastic, really, in every game. You know, he's just solid out and reliable out. So I probably would have him as our most consistent player. But I think, yeah, you would say Tommy is going well, all right. And I think Sean Donoghue is having a great year as well. A lot of our backs, really, they're coming into their prime now. O'Donoghue, Niall O'Leary and Mark Coleman. And they are playing well. And, you know, they are a big reason why our defence is going better this year, because these guys are in their prime and they're having good campaigns. So I would say Niall is probably having the best season of all of them, consistently wise. He mightn't stand up like guys, you know, some of our star forwards or some of other guys, but, you know, people who do love the hurling recognise this guy and they spot what he's doing, and he's been fantastic for us.
Looking at lads who maybe oftentimes get criticised or maligned, sometimes by myself, like Pat Collins and Damien Cahalan, I think they're two lads who can stand out and say they've actually had a pretty good Championship so far and have surprised a few people, and myself included in that.
Yeah, I agree with you. The hardest part in a podcast really is when you have to go in and guys, and because you want to be honest, and because you know people who love the hurling and are listening to it, they will see through the rubbish if you're trying to cod them. So you have to be honest about players' performances. And the hardest part then is kind of calling out guys when they're not going well. And like Pat Collins, he didn't, you know, he's had his tough moments in the past. Like, we all know it. We all saw the honor and finals. There are horror shows, really, for the fella. But the last two games, I think he's been excellent for us. And he's really, his confidence is growing in the puck outs a lot because he's mixing the short and the long. And he's picking when to go short and when to go long very well. And he's like, he's getting off a few mid-range puckouts there now against Clare, and that'll make us stronger as well. In fact, we have three options in the puckouts. So I'm delighted that he had two good games there now, the last two games, and we do call it out when guys are not going well, so it's only fair that we call out when the guys are going well. So I'm delighted for him. And with Callum, and like I've never had a problem with Callum, to be honest. You know, he does get a bit of stick, and I do think it's unfair. I think a lot of it is probably because his father was his a football background, and then people throw cheap criticism at him then. And he's like, oh, he's a footballer. But like he's always given us everything. We know that with him, you know. And he's been in tough situations over the years, like where there's been no protection in around him, you know. And he's been asked to defend guys in 40, 50 yards of space. Guys like Shamie Callanan and all these guys. And, you know, no fullback in the world is going to put up with that. Like, and you know, no fullback is going to come out looking good with that. And he did his best for us, you know. But I'm always happy when he's in the team because I know he'll give us everything. He's no Kieran Joyce. We know that. He'll probably know that himself. But we do know we have a guy there that will give us everything and put his body in the line. And so we saw that against Clare when he stopped that ball in the line. You know, he practically sat on top of the ball, put his body in the line and stopped going over. So I'm delighted that he's going well. And we're going to need him to have a good year because we all go full back to a crucial position. And we're going to need him to be strong there. And he's going to be up against Limerick because they will be putting the ball in there this year. And they are going for goals. So we're going to find out more about him again in the Munster final. We're going to need big games from two of those lads. And I hope they deliver.
How do you think Limerick are going to approach the Munster final?
I think they're going to go all out. I think both teams are going to go all out for this, really. I think I've heard a few of them say, right, that they want to get the Munster Championship, the trophy back, especially when we took it out of their backyard last year up in the Gaelic grounds. I think they're taking that kind of personally, but they'll be going all out for this. And we know how they play. Like, they play the same way every year, which is just so hard to stop. But definitely the difference is this year is that they're going for goals. You know, they are putting the ball into Gillan more, and he's the best inside forward in the game for me. So it's danger when they get the ball into him. So we're going to have a hell of a job to do. Cut out the spy ball going to Gillan and then stopping him when he's on the ball. It's, you know, easier said than done.
Who are you putting on Gillan for the game?
God, I probably would go on Niall O'Leary, I suppose. You know, he's probably our most foreign player. Like, O'Donoghue will give us everything. We know that with Sean O'Donoghue, but he hasn't gone well against Gillan the last couple of years, and maybe he could do with a bit of a break from him. So I probably will go on Niall O'Leary and give him a chance to feed Gillan. It'll depend as well, I suppose, if Shane O'Brien is playing, then Callan will probably match up with Shane O'Brien, but he wasn't playing the last day for Limerick. So it'll be interesting to see who they start in there, because they've usually put Niall O'Leary on Peter Casey, because Niall is mobile, like, and he'll stick with Casey. But I just think now, the way Gillan is going, and that Niall has been our best player in the backline this year, let's try Niall O'Leary on him.
And, like, what way personally are you seeing, like, I can't help but, like, doing brain maths and probabilities. I'm like, would you let Limerick have the Munster if it somehow meant we'd have more probability of winning the All-Ireland, even though, look, obviously it doesn't work that way whatsoever. In my own head, I'm kind of justifying Ashram have this one, like, do you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It does seem like an easier route if you come second, doesn't it? Like, with all due respect to the Leinster teams, you're playing number three in Leinster and then you're playing the Leinster winners if you do lose the Munster final, you know? But then there's the thought of, like, Limerick, if Limerick won that in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, the thought of their crowd invading our pitch then and presenting the trophy under the south stand, I don't know. It'd be hard to take that. Especially our first Munster final at home in the new Páirc Uí Chaoimh, you know, we do want to win it. But I do see what you're saying. It does seem like the easier route if you do go second. And let's be honest, like, it is the All-Ireland that is all that matters for us this year. You know, we won the Munster last year. We won the league last year. It's the All-Ireland final, the one we want to get back to exercise the ghost of last year. And just get over the line, and you know, we'll all be happy then. We are one win away inside of the Munster final or the quarterfinal from getting back to Croke Park, and that's what we all want, just to be back there with a chance to get to the final. But I know what you mean. It is kind of like, maybe it is going to be hard to beat them twice, there's no doubt about that. If we have to beat them in Munster final and an All-Ireland final, it will be tough.
We probably won't see until they actually do it, but do you think mentally they have the resilience now to go forward? Like, I mean, the semi-final or the final last year, the second half of that, we're going to be in their mind somewhere, losing to Clare the year before. It's going to be tough on some of those lads to rise again.
It is going to be hard, and as you say, we won't know the answer to that question until the question is posed, really, in an All-Ireland final. And like, they do have Gerry Hussey in there this year dealing with the sports psychology side of it, and he's got a big job in his hands there to get these guys turned around and get their confidence and their heads right. You know, that the last year won't be affecting them. And it does seem like last year is not affecting them. I thought it would this year, that we might struggle to get out of Munster after last year, but they do seem to be just playing with abandon and just getting on with it. And I'd say Ben O'Connor would be straight and direct with guys, and I'd say he would call it as it is. I think Pat was a more arm around the shoulder kind of guy, which is probably what we needed when these guys are young, but now they probably do need a bit more straight talking. And I'd say Ben would be straight with these guys. And I hope that stands so psychologically, but definitely Gerry Hussey does have his work cut out there now if we do get back to the final, to make sure the ghosts of the last 2 years don't creep up, really, and getting these guys' heads Because you know you're not going to win an All-Ireland final without a hell of a performance. And if you're psychologically not ready, then you're not going to deliver a hell of a performance. So it will be difficult. But I just hope now that these guys think enough is enough. You know, enough is enough. They took an awful lot of abuse last year, we know that. And they're the butt of a lot of jokes from counties outside of Cork. Maybe they're thinking now, the hell with this, and let's get over the line here and not be listening to anyone else and just doing the business and getting it done for their own sake and for their family's sake and for their club's sake. And we all want it for them. And we want it for Cork Curling, and let's hope they do.
Yeah, could there be an element of a certain like trauma bonding together of the shared experiences with the messages and the WhatsApps and all that, and you know, the memes online, that'll actually bring them together and they'll stand up on the day and say, look, it's not going to happen again.
Yeah, you'd hope to be a tighter group. And, you know, they do have a lot of hurling play in the last 2 years. But when you think about getting to three All-Ireland finals in a row, it's hard going, you know. So there's a lot of water passed under the bridge of this team. And you do hope, yeah, right, that the scarring from last year will actually make us stronger. Whatever doesn't kill you will make us stronger, as they say. We're going to be hoping that that is the case. Let's get back to the final first, and then we can answer those questions.
Brilliant stuff. Well, it's a pleasure to be joined by you. Look, lastly, we'll use it as a bit of a Munster final preview. Do Cork retain the Micmackey Cup?
God, it's tight. Well, no, you're putting me on the spot there. It's going to be very tight. I think everyone's going to be saying that. It's kind of like your head versus your heart. But I just think the home field advantage might just get us over the line. And we're all scrapping for tickets now. The hunt is mad. It's going to be hard to get in there, but we hope again that now there'll be a huge Cork crowd there for the Munster final, and it will get us over the line. So I'm just tipping us, but it will be close.
I'm away in a wedding, unfortunately, but at least I don't have the panic or about tickets anyway.
Yeah.
So my mind's at ease in some sort of way. Look, Cork Hurling Pod, it's been a pleasure. People can find you. Where can they find you again? And just so they know,
they can find me just Cork Hurling Pod on YouTube. That's where all my podcasts will be, and I'm also on X, and I just call it Cork Hurling Pod in that as well, just to keep it simple. So it's easy to find me, and my DMs are open for people if they do want to get after me and make comments, because people love talking Cork Hurling, and I'm only willing to talk Cork Hurling with anyone.
Well, brilliant stuff. We'll have to have you on again so in future, hopefully after the Munster final. Well, it's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks a million. Yeah, it's long.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.